You are listening to Core Modernization with KPMG, a banking podcast series dedicated to helping banks become future-ready with digital transformation strategies that work and executions that deliver.
Hello, my name is Mark Rickey, and I am KPMG's banking consulting lead partner. In my role, I meet with top U.S. banks, and what I'm hearing over and over again is the desire for insights around banks' digital transformation agenda. The banks are asking me a series of questions when I meet with them. They include, we know we need to accelerate our digital agenda, Mark, and modernize our core platforms. Can you tell us if we're behind or ahead of our competition? Second, how do we measure the value of the investment needed? Third, how do we keep up with changing customer and regulatory demands? Fourth, how do I align all the stakeholders internally needed for a successful digital transformation? And lastly, how do I ensure the adoption of these new digital capabilities by both my associates and my customers? My response to these questions is typically, take a deep breath because you're not alone or unique. All the banks I talk with are facing multiple, and when I say multiple, I mean probably 3 to 5 core modernization and digital transformation efforts that are very costly but necessary. Failure or procrastinating is not an option. Why? Simply put, if banks don't embrace digital transformation and modernization quickly, they will fall further behind and won't be able to compete. As we know, technology is moving very fast, and today's leaders can be tomorrow's dinosaurs unless they continue to invest in the areas that will drive real business results. And digital transformation should be considered the top of that list. Having said this, I'd estimate that approximately 50% of the banks that start this journey fail to deliver the business case results they set out for. We recommend that everyone invest in their future wisely to modernize their core and scale their infrastructures, not only just to survive, but to thrive in the future-ready, customer-centric bank. Today, I'm kicking off a series around digital transformation, which will be a series of podcasts. And today, I'm going to be joined with KPMG's top digital strategist, Celeste Diana, and our top digital architect, Mark Shank, to discuss the challenges that banks are currently facing and how to begin and devise a roadmap for success. So to kick us off, Celeste, welcome.
Thank you.
Can I ask you to share your perspective on who do you think we're going to be the winners in the digital banking transformation race, and what will they do to be winners?
Thank you, Mark. Let me start by saying that the first component to winning is acknowledging that digital is not an initiative with a start and end date. It really is a vehicle that's driving us into the future of banking. Now, when we start to unpack that and we say future of, we do not see it as being dominated by just banks. It's a competitive chessboard that involves any company that has the technical ability to support the consumer's desire to grow, manage, and move money. And you start to think about things like the recent entrance of Apple into the card business or others such as Google that have publicly announced their ambition to be in the banking business. These are organizations that have a history of winning consumers and they have the technology chops to figure out banking. So considering that and coupling it with the tremendous momentum that we're seeing around consumer experiences anywhere, becoming their expectations everywhere, we really need to think about how we're competing in tomorrow's market. Now, these organizations that are winning are well on their way to the future. Those that haven't even started yet are in danger of losing ground. The level of effort might seem overwhelming when you start to think about modernizing an entire bank. And this is where we hear the most questions around where to start. The short answer is you need to start with the foundational elements. Foundational elements may take you some bit of time, but they give you the greatest returns and position you for success. Core modernization as a topic is one of the top agenda items that we're seeing across the C-suite of leading financial institutions. They all recognize that this is a method to unlock things like product innovation and speed to delivery and real-time processing. Core modernization is really a definitive movement away from monolithic systems of the past where everything is tightly coupled together and it's a Herculean effort to make changes, to things like a modular architecture where you have modern language, configurability, cloud-native capabilities, which Mark Shank will speak to a little bit later on. Being modern today means being able to keep pace with change and having the flexibility to shift what you want when you want it. The winners realize that core modernization is the pathway to nationalization and experiences that matter to consumers. We've seen many approach this modernization effort as really a way to jumpstart their overall enterprise modernization efforts. Now, banks today have a competitive advantage based on their experience and knowledge of banking in general. So that means they're in a good position to lead what the future of is going to look like, but they really need to start running down the path of modernization today so that they can scale and really compete at market speed. So again, modernization includes everything from the business model down to the operating model. And when you start to think of things like core modernization, you need to have started it already. These are really high-stake types of initiatives. Banks can't afford to fail. And the winners are going to be those that are enabled and powered by partners that have done this before. Partners that have seen the successful patterns, know the path forward, they know what good looks like, and they know how to get you there.
Thanks, Celeste. Very helpful insights. And I'd like to add on to your perspective about successful partnerships and partners to drive these efforts. I often share with our clients that digital transformation and core modernization efforts are similar to having a major surgery like a heart transplant. And if you are facing a heart transplant for yourself or your loved one, you would not want a novice and inexperienced doctor performing that surgery. So what I tell our clients, it's paramount that for your digital transformation and future-ready state, that you hire partners that have the experience and expertise. We usually see with our clients that they align with a group of experienced partners and all the large transformation efforts we're a part of. These partners have experienced resources with the platforms and technologies in the ecosystem being implemented and leverage proven accelerator assets and methods to help the banks move from current state to future state. The other insight I'd share is that the supply of these experienced surgeons or resources is not enough to meet the market demands of all the banks going through digital transformation. So if you don't hear anything else, pick your partners early and get the top resources locked up. Mark Shank, welcome. I'd like to change the dialogue, and I'd like for you to share with our listeners how our clients are approaching their modernization and transformation efforts from a technology and architectural strategy standpoint. And what are the foundational imperatives that we're seeing in these efforts?
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be here. So first, let me introduce myself as the leader of our cloud architecture practice at KPMG. And personally, I do a lot of work in the banking space, and I've worked on several core modernization efforts over the past 4 or 5 years. The number one imperative for the success of your technology initiative, whether it's something as mission critical as a core modernization or a medium risk item like your API strategy, is to have clearly defined business goals that your technology architecture is in service of. So Celeste, how many times have we been brought in to help with an API strategy after they built the API platform? I can think of at least three for me personally. It's kind of ridiculous, but the technology team, they want to play with the new frameworks, the new design patterns, all the cool new tech. They build an API platform, has portals and keys, and then they don't really understand why no one is buying them. The business doesn't really care, and for something like a core modernization effort, it's even easier to go out and get lost in the weeds of one of these implementations.
Yeah, it's actually super frustrating in those kinds of situations. You have to break it down and bring them back to square one and have them focus on those API strategies first and then the platform.
You're absolutely right. So, Mark, let me flip the script a little bit and ask you to team me up with a business imperative. Are we talking about what would be driving this core modernization effort, right? So are we talking about time to market? Are we talking about scale, partnering strategy, and ecosystem?
All right, Mark. I guess I'll bite on that without being sarcastic and saying all the above. But, you know, often time to market comes up. And banks often talk to us about needing to be both agile and nimble.
I think you picked the one that we definitely hear the most. And it's, they often talk about it from an agile, they want to be agile. And as technologists, we have a particular definition of agile that's about process. But when banks talk about being agile, they mean agile at a product level, right? That they want to be able to change direction. They want to be able to partner with disruptive fintechs. And the key architectural principle of your technology ecosystem that will enable this agility, enable that nimbleness is composability. So technologists love to appropriate words, and they stole this one straight from the symphony. We want to orchestrate our services in a composable architecture. What it really boils down to is simply having each component be as atomic as possible, scoped down such that it can function on its own and with a given input produce a given output. For core modernization, that means not doing what all of your vendors are pushing you towards and buying up all of their modules. Instead, try getting the most out of interoperability standards like buy-in and separating operations like pricing or others away from your core debits and credits.
Mark, I love it. Composability, definitely a new term I've learned today. So you're telling me that I shouldn't try to buy everything the vendor is selling me?
Yeah, I know. Maybe not the sagest of advice ever given, but it's the temptation is very real. The core vendors are making this pitch that, like, yeah, I'll take this component off your hands. Like, yeah, you're concerned about this core implementation and the roadmap, and you should be. So let me make it easier for you. Buy this module off us. Buy that module off of us. And so it is more tempting than maybe it sounds, and you have to be able to resist it because it comes at the cost of your ability to be more nimble, be more agile in the future, and what you're doing is recreating that monolith that kind of got you here in the first place.
So, you know, Mark, if I've got the most modern architecture that does all these great things that you're espousing to, am I good to go? Nimble banking, here I come, baby. But I can't believe it's that easy.
No, you're right. It's definitely not. I mean, I would even go so far as to say the architecture is the easy part. The biggest challenge for being agile is having a horizontally integrated team. You can no longer have the daisy chain from requirements to design to dev to test to security to ops. That needs to happen as one team, one automation tool chain that takes you end-to-end, functional through non-functional. You need to have those security and compliance stories in your development sprints being groomed during the build phase. You need to have your policies and controls translated as automated tests in your DevOps pipeline. But most importantly, you need to get these people to break from their legacy teams, which aligned by function, and align themselves with the product so that they're thinking about the product first.
I guess well said again. So Mark, let me be clear. If I have a customer who got this far and did their homework, did their composability, ate their vegetables, even their broccoli, how can someone listening to this leapfrog them? And what mistakes can they not make in their race forward?
It's a great question. What have we learned from the early adopters of cloud and banking? I would lean on two anecdotes of expensively learned experience. For core modernization, any truly future-ready core is still being built here today in 2021. So you really want to pressure test their roadmap, get engaged with their roadmap, and influence it to any degree that you can. All of these sales are really big deals. You have a lot of influence. There are not a ton of banks that they can sell these things to. And so everyone is precious to them. We've seen it more than once where it takes a client bank to, they have to kind of get their fingers burned in the fire a little bit. And they get some features that are late or maybe incomplete from their vendor. It screws up the bank's timeline and they're having to explain things up the chain. And really it was just driven completely by this dependency. Second, when it comes to the cloud and the modern technology stack that you're putting on top of your modern core, and you absolutely should be thinking about the modern technology stack that you're putting on top of your modern core, do not be afraid of cloud native managed services. Most banks think multi-cloud or hybrid cloud means cloud portable architectures. But we have seen with the early adopters, as they get more mature, they realize the cost and human effort of that approach. Cloud native managed services require fewer hands on the wheel. And that is really the limiting factor in your ability to scale these implementations and your ability to build out all of the infrastructure and services that you need to enable the agility and time to market, et cetera. So the path to giving you more bandwidth and more capability is cloud native managed services. And it takes everyone usually a couple years to figure that out.
Thanks, Mark. Extremely informative. And Celeste, I know you're usually not this quiet, so I'm going to come back to you on your thoughts to the question that I kind of danced around at the beginning of the podcast that we hear from the C-suite. Are we behind? And if we're behind, how far and how fast should we be moving with our efforts?
That's a great question, Mark. And the short answer is yes, especially in two areas. The first area is being behind in delivering experiences that consumers expect. The second area is being behind in keeping up with the plethora of players out there that are not weighed down with the same business and technical debt as banks. The window of opportunity to catch up is closing, and pretty soon, it's going to be just too darn late. So catching up requires three basic but critical steps, and those are plan, commit, and start. Let me repeat that. Plan, commit, and start. Planning a core modernization is really complex, especially when you consider the sheer size of the ecosystem. Every aspect of the ecosystem will need to be touched in some shape or form, and poor planning is a guaranteed recipe for disaster. As for commit, we've seen an incredible amount of programs fail due to lack of commitment alone. Commitment really has to sit across the enterprise, starting with the C-suite and going all the way down to the talent that is delivering the program. So starting today, or in some cases continuing, is really paramount to catching up. This is a multi-year journey, and every day you don't start is a commitment to your past and not into your future. Now, the final aspect, start, there's a lot to do to catch up. It's important to note that you're not alone. As you have said before in, you know, what you were mentioning earlier, Mark, the patterns for successful core modernization have already been established. So if you haven't started today, now is the time to get started. And the risk of not starting or being underway will impact your ability to keep up and move forward.
That's great and very helpful, Celeste. Plan, commit, and start. So in my words, what I see banks do is ready, fire, aim. And what you're saying is, no, ready, aim, fire.
Absolutely.
So that plan and commit is really important before the start.
That's right.
So that's helpful because, again, I mean, it's not like in the perspective that we would share with the audience is as we work with our top 20 clients in this space, all banks are undergoing or contemplating 3 to 5 of these core modernization efforts with all the complexities that Mark talked about and the ecosystem span that you talked about, Celeste. Why do I say 3 to 5? Because we know in such areas as deposits, consumer and commercial lending, mortgage lending, payments, which will include areas such as real-time payments, payment hubs, wires, and HCH. And on top of all those, lastly, financial systems transformation, that list is the list that everyone is modernizing around. And again, every bank we've talked to is contemplating 3 to 5 of them. So the body of work we're talking about on this podcast is massive. And that's an understatement. It's massive and expensive. So, and it's going to take them multiple years to achieve that. So anything to add to that in terms of the insights, Celeste, of what we're seeing to define the scale and scope a little bit better for the audience and the journey that they must go on?
Well, it is a lot, as you put it, Mark, and there are many ways to architect how you're going to go about it. We're seeing the most activity today in the deposits and payment space. And while the priorities tend to shift around every few years, these are the two leading priorities across many banks as this really touches the highest number of customers and they are core, if I can use that word in this context, to the financial strength of the future. So closely following payments and deposits, we then have finance transformation. Those are really the three major areas of focus. The other areas in the core space has been underway for many years, and we're almost to the other side on a few of them. Mortgage and commercial originations, for example, have been the focus for the last 5 to 7 years. So now we're at the point where we're ready to modernize our most complex and highest impact systems. This is really why it's critical to work with a trusted advisor. You need to be able to accelerate your efforts and avoid failure.
Very well said, Celeste. Thank you to you and to you as well, Mark Shank, for your comments. As we've shared, this is obviously a very important and complex topic, and we've only scratched the surface today. Therefore, this is going to be the first in a multi-part podcast series from KPMG where we are going to handpick industry titans that will provide deep dive perspectives into the topics such as deposits, consumer and commercial lending, money movement, mortgage transformation, and much more. What I'd say in closing is wherever you are on your digital transformation journey, KPMG will help you accelerate it with a one-bank approach to modernize your core platforms while scaling your infrastructure. So you can and must unite your front, middle, and back offices to equip your workforce and create seamless interactions that strengthen the connection with your customers as a digital-first, future-ready bank. We certainly hope that you found today's conversation informative. We offer you to reach out to any of us if you'd like to further the conversation. Thanks and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Core Modernization with KPMG. We look forward to hosting you again on future episodes where we will dive deeper into key areas of the core infrastructure.